know the best place to be right now? Here. Because this is where God wants you to be. I can't think of anywhere in the world that I would want to be right now, because this is where God wants me. And when we trust in the Lord in all things that we do and all things that we don't do, we do forget to do some things. It's a place of peace. It's a place where we say, okay, God, you brought me here. I can see where and how you got me to be in this particular position. Thank you for now. We worry about yesterday. We worry about tomorrow. We wonder what's going to happen. I wonder whether this is going to go down right. There's no need for it, because we're here because God brought us here. We're in this particular moment of life because God brought us to this particular moment of life. And I don't know where all this come from, because it's not in my notes. It's not where I was going to go. But I just feel that God needs to speak to us this morning and say, wherever you are at, it is where he wants you to be at. You can't walk away from God. Talk to the guy that spent some time in the belly of a whale. You can't walk away from God. God has a plan for you, and that plan is going to be resolved whether you like it or not. Whether I want to go there or not, I will be where God wants me to be. He's in charge. And we need to admit and acknowledge God is in charge. I am no longer my own. I am bought at a price, precious blood of Jesus Christ. I am not my own. You are not your own. You belong to God. You belong to Christ. You're the puppets that are on the ends of the string that he's jiggling around with. We're going and doing what he wants us to do. Rejoice in the fact that you don't have to worry about it. Rejoice in the fact that he put it on the cross and he said, "It is finished." We don't have to carry the burdens. We don't have to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't have to worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to be clothed in, where we're going to go, what we're going to do. God's got it all in hand. He knew where you would be today before the earth even began. That is stupendous. That is so mighty. And sometimes when Faith and I are in prayer in the morning, I say, "Lord, I'm saying these things, but I don't get a hold of them. They're too mighty for me. How could you possibly know that I was going to marry Faith before the world even began? It's too big for me. It's too huge for me. But I accept it in faith." Not faithfulness, but faith. I accept that God is in command of my life in faith, through faith, because Jesus has already done it all. Everything is in place. I'm so thankful that I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Today's enough. It's in the Word. Care not about tomorrow. Today's problems, you notice it said problems? Today's problems are sufficient unto thee. And I'm one of the blessed. I'm one of the blessed. I don't have any worries. Bumps in the road, yes. But no worries. No great problems. I take my hat off to people like James, Jody, and some of you guys that just do so much. Just seem to be in a place where you're hammered all the time. But that hammering doesn't make you tough. Doesn't make you tough, doesn't it? It strengthens the inner being. So I'll shut up now. And my word today is, what do you see? What do you see? What do you actually see? Pastor Mike spoke last week of dreams and hopes been shaken by unseen and unexpected shock events. And they tend to knock us a bit around, sideways, now and again. But if we've got a vision, we stick to it. Abraham was given a vision of the promised land. He never saw it. But he never wavered in the belief that it was going to happen. He went, we don't know exactly, I don't know exactly how long he lived with that vision, how old he was when he got the vision. But he stuck with it all the way through thick and thin. God had given him a vision, end of story. And he gives us visions. Especially old geezers, he's supposed to give us dreams. Most of mine are nightmares. Abraham was given that vision of the promised land that he never saw. And sometimes we are part of the construction of the vision. We help others to get to where that vision is going to come about. Moses also was given a vision of a free people and the fulfillment of that promised land. Moses didn't enter. He saw it. He saw it from a distance. But he didn't enter. But the trials and tribulations that he went through on the promise of God that he would see the people free, and he saw that. He saw the people freed from their burdens of Egypt. He saw the people so close to the promised land. And he stuck with that. I'd have told them all to shove it years ago. Honest. Whinging. I reckon that's where the poms must have started. They must have started. It must have been. They probably came out of Egypt with the Israelites. And somewhere or other they separated and they took all the whinging up to Pommyland with them. I used to have a pom lived a couple of doors down from me down at Karakalinga. And every time I saw him, I used to think, oh no. As soon as he opened his mouth, he was whinging about something. Now I must have got rid of my pommy blood because you never hear me whinge. You never hear me moan. You never hear me complain. You don't listen, that's why. None of these guys saw the vision fulfilled. And yet they had the vision, they hang on to it. Do you know one of the great visionaries is the Apostle Paul? I mean, his vision was spectacular, wasn't it? I mean, really, it was spectacular. And he went through so many trials and tribulations in his time of ministry, but the vision was given to him in that strength to enable him to go through, apart from the Holy Spirit and God being with him in every step. But he withstood and followed the vision, no matter what. He just kept going. He just kept fulfilling, no matter how much pain, no matter how much disappointment, how many people came against him. And when you're in a leadership position, people come against you because you're a leader. It's part of the job. And he copped an awful lot. But he hung on to the vision that God had given him to take the gospel to the Gentiles. That's thee and me. And I'm so glad that he did. With a little bit of hope from the Holy Spirit. In Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. We need a vision. We need a vision as a person. We need a vision as a couple. We need a vision as a church. We need a vision in our work. We need a vision in what to do and when to do it. We need a vision. We need something to aim at. Otherwise, we stand up here waffling. What do you see in the future? What's your vision? In 1872, Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, yet 114 years later, the Americans are still victims of segregation. During the speech at the Lincoln Memorial in 1963, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. expressed his vision in these now famous words, "I have a dream." And we know that little bit at the start, now, "I have a dream." But the rest of it went, that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and sons of the former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, I can make up words. When you're 80 plus, you can do what the heck you like. A state sweltering with the heat of injustice and oppression will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I hate those movies. I hate, loathe, and detest those movies where it shows the black man being put down. The cruelty, the stupidity, the ignorance of mankind really gets up my nostrils sometimes. When I think what the world is doing to some of my brothers and sisters around the world, I cringe inside. Dr. Luther went on to say, that was his wife Martha. Dr. Luther went on to say, I have a dream of that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. It is such a gift. We give thanks for our freedom just about every morning. It is such a precious gift. You'd be amazed at the lack of freedom around the world, even in so-called Western countries. The night before Dr. Martha, I'll get that right one of these days, when Dr. Luther, I don't know where Martha came from, I don't know any Marthas, was assassinated in Memphis, he told the audience he had seen the promised land. God gave him a vision. And even though they may never get there at the same time, they would one day enter it. If you don't have a vision for your life, ask God and he will give you one. If you've got no aim in life, ask God and he will freely give. And when he gives it to you, pour your life into believing you'll live to see it fulfilled. When God gives you a vision, you know it's from him. It's not some willy-nilly dream. If you haven't learned by now to discern the difference between the Holy Spirit's words and Satan's words, spend more time with him. They're quite discernible. They are totally different. And when God gives you a vision, hang on to it. I had a vision when we were starting up the little church down at Normanville, Yankalilla, Karakalinga, that area. And we'd gone through having church in different homes. We'd rented premises. We'd gone through all the trials and tribulations that are usually associated with starting up a church out in the middle of nowhere. And I had this vision. And it was a vision of our own church. And like Abraham, I started to work out where I was going to buy this building and what it was going to be. And there was an old shearing shed, still there. We were down there the other day. And it's still there, an old shearing shed, lovely piece of land all the way around it, easy to get at, nice access. And I thought, we went in there, my wife and I went in there, and we prayed about the place. And even though it was fairly close to the road, you couldn't hear the traffic. There was just something about that old shearing shed. And I had the vision of that being turned into our little church, and later on that would just be the foyer, and we'd build a church behind it. But God had a much better vision for me. And one day this other vision popped up. The difference between my vision and his vision. He said he was going to give us a church. I started to work like Abraham did, and he said, you know, I'll have the son through some other woman. And God had another idea for us, and he showed us the best building in the area. And at that time, it was a working lodge. But the vision was there. The vision was in place. And it's quite a long story, and eventually God gave us that vision. We hung on to that vision. Even though we lost the auction for it, we knew God had given us that vision. And when God gives you something, rely on what he's given you. We can pop in things of our own, but when God gives us a vision, go for it. Run for it. Work, think about it. You might not see it today, you might not see it tomorrow, you might not see it for another 2 years. But if God has given you a vision and you've prayed for it and he's given it to you, it will come into fulfillment. Because God, he wants good blessings, as James said this morning. God can only bless those that seek his face. There is always a but. If we seek his face, we are his children, he has to bless. And what a blessing of a really lovely vision coming to fulfillment. Whether it's for your family, whether it's for your church, whether it's for your work, whether it's for your, whatever you do, whatever you enjoy, God will bless the vision. Has God given you a vision? Habakkuk. Write the vision and make it plain, for he who may run who reads it. Then God gives you a vision for your life. Write it down. That's wonderful. That's one of the things about studying, isn't it? Mike knows that when you read something and you study something, when you write it down, it goes into the computer, not only by the mouth and the hearing, but by the eyes, and you retain it far better. Write it down. Keep it before you at all times. You read now and again in Scripture where a king or a prophet will have a letter that's been sent to him, or he'll write something and he'll spread it out before the Lord. Lord, I want this. Lord, bless me with this. Lord, put these enemies down that have sent me this letter. Lord, do something for me. And there it is. You can see it, and the Lord already knows it anyway. But it's a visual thing, and it strengthens your resolve. So the Lord says here, keep it before you at all times after you've written it down, and run with it. You say, but I see no way for it to come to pass. And that sometimes happens. You know, when I first saw the lodge, it was a magnificent building. It was a lodge with a temple and a big hall and extra rooms and a lovely car park. And it was just fantastic. And we were a handful and a quarter. You could count our people on one hand in those days. And it will come to pass. The Bible records God's answer to Habakkuk when he posed this question. The vision is yet for an appointed time. Hallelujah. You know, I love that word. I've preached it here and I've preached it in other churches. Seasons. Seasons. What you're going through today, you're not going to go through tomorrow. It's a season. It will come to an end. It will finish. Even though you've got your feet dragging through the mud and it feels absolutely horrible, it is a season. It will come to an end. The vision is yet for an appointed time. Appointed time. God appoints the time for everything in our lives. God appoints the time. We can sometimes lag behind, we can sometimes run ahead, but no matter where we are and what we're doing, God is the one that sets the time, because it sits into his plan, not ours. His plan, not ours. Wait for it. This is where we get a bit, wait for it. That wonderful word called patience. Sometimes you have to wait till you're nearly 80 or 80 or gone 80 before patience actually soaks in. God, give me patience and give it me now. Well, you can stomp as much as you like. It is for a appointed time, and it will be revealed in his time. Praise God for that. I don't have to worry about it. What a wonderful vision, God. I'll go and play bowls now. Don't worry about it. It's going to happen. Rejoice when it happens. Hallelujah, Lord. I'd forgotten about that one. What a wonderful idea. Let's go for it. Wee, hubba dubba do. You may not know how to get from where you are right now to where God's vision will ultimately take you. Once again, it's not your problem. I haven't got enough money. I haven't got the strength. I'm too old. It's too far away. It's too big a vision. It's too. And God said, what are you worrying about? I told you you're going to have it, so you're going to have it. End of story. Sit back and relax what you're doing today. Sit back and relax what you've got now. Stop carrying on about if I had this, if I was younger, if I was older, if the kids had gone to school, if the kids had gone to work, if the kids, if you're going to have the kids to the day you die. Don't you hate it? Some of you got great kids. Some of the families are fantastic. But some of them, oh man. Just don't waffle on the mic. God's vision will ultimately take you there. But God does, so ask him to reveal the next step to you. Hey, it's not hard to, it's not bad, it's not terrible to say, God, what's the next step? What do you want me to do now? And then don't go rushing around trying to fulfill it. Wait till he tells you. If I ask Faith a question and she didn't ask me straight away, I ask her again. And I wait for her answer. I don't go beating around the head and say, I asked you a question. When are you going to? And God's the same. When we ask God a question, he is not deaf. It's amazing. Some Christians, God, I'm blah, blah. Excuse me. He made your ears. He knows how to hear. He made your mouth. He knows how to make you use it properly. One of the things I have to ask for every morning. Oh, dear Lord. You know, it doesn't matter where you are. Just ask him to reveal the next step. Whether you're in prison like Joseph. Remember Joseph, all the things he went through. But that man's patience, it grew stronger as he went along. Amazing. You could be in a soup kitchen in the inner city. I don't know about the soup convention. I remember the old pie cart. It's coming back again, isn't it? Isn't that good news? Don't make good coffee, but they make good floating. God will fulfill the vision he has placed in your heart. The more you see yourself leading in the boardroom, launching your own business, serving in ministry, writing your first book, God, I can't imagine it, or helping others through your gifts, the sooner it'll become a reality. You see, when we dwell on something in our mind, when we turn it over, we keep it refreshed. We keep it refreshed. If God's told us to let go of something and we keep on worrying about that something, we don't let go of it. It's all part of that renewing of your mind. That's an incredible scripture. I know, and we all have it. I still have it. Something gets in my mind and it gets stuck in there and it's a pain in the head. And unless I come up with a scripture against it, God has not given me a spirit of fear, etc. Or bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ Jesus. Unless I come up with scripture, that thought will keep hammering away in my mind. So we need to go through that renewing of the mind, and the vision will come clear as we keep thinking about the vision. Not running around trying to make it happen, but just ticking it over in the mind. Every now and again, reminding. Every now and again, look at what we have written. Remember I said earlier on, when you have a vision, write it down, as he said to Habakkuk. And just keep working on it in the mind. The vision becomes clear. He gives us glimpses of it, like a picture developing from a soft hue into a sharp resolution. So take the vision God has given you and run with it. Let it motivate you to perform to the best of your ability in your present position. You see, visions help us along the way. Visions help us to fulfill our daily chores. We know that something is going to get better because God has given us a good vision. And although we're going through trials and tribulations today, remember I said seasons, although we're going through trials and tribulations, we can in our mind visualize the vision. I'm here in this horrible place today, but I've got a vision. I've got a vision. And I know that one day that Lodge is going to be mine. I know that one day it's not going to be a people chanting evil things and flicking switches and making lights come on and off. It's going to be a place where God is going to be worshipped, where we're going to see healing, where we're going to see people come. We're going to have rejoicing. We're going to have the best premises in the whole region. We're going to make the other churches jealous because they didn't bid for the place, and we're going to have it, even though today we're being chucked out of the place we've enjoyed for so long, because God said that is ours. And when we've got a vision, we can hang on to it, and we can plow through the trials and tribulations that come upon us day after day. You will have problems in the world, but fear not, I have overcome the world. It's in the Word. That's what Jesus said. And the trials and tribulations that we have today, we can focus on the vision, because most visions are good. I shudder at some of the visions he gave some of the old prophets. We were reading it this morning, where the Lord said, I'm going to take away your wife. You mustn't mourn, you mustn't grieve, you mustn't let the outer world look that you're sorry about it. You've got to face up as if it's a good day. What a ghastly vision. What a ghastly word. I'd hate to be one of the old prophets. Hate to be one of the old prophets. While staying in communication with the one who knows and loves you best. That is a sermon on its own. That is a sermon on... While staying in communication with the one who knows and loves you best. Jesus. We have love from our spouses. We have love from our children. We have that crazy love from a faithful dog. But the love that we have from Jesus has no bounds, has no limits, has none of this love you today, not so sure about you tomorrow. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. His love is strong and powerful. It's always in place. And we are surrounded, soaked in that love. And you say, well, I don't feel that this morning. Well, it's there whether you feel it or not. Whether you feel it or not, God's love is all over you. Whether you deserve it or not, God's love is all over you. Whether you want it or not, it doesn't change the fact that God's love is all over you. It's like a cocoon. And when we grasp a hold of it and run with it and say, yes, I know your love is with me, but I feel horrible this morning. I fell out of bed the wrong side. I'd have to clamour all over faith to do that. Hang on to God's love. Hang on to the vision. He's such a good God. Today pray, Lord, I know that where I am right now isn't where you're taking me to. Give me glimpses of your vision for my future, so that my understanding may grow in accordance with your timing. Give me patience along the way, dear Lord, and faith to trust that you're always working for my good. God is always on your side. To know the amazing thing is, and been there, done that, when we're doing, saying, thinking wrong, God is still on your side. God says, love your neighbor as yourself. I'm not that terribly impressed with me. So I find that particular saying a bit difficult. But God is not looking to punish because you're not quite doing or saying the right thing today. His love, His blessings, His desire, His longing, His guarding, His provision, His guiding is there every moment of each and every one of our lives. He never lets go, ever. We do. We back off. We don't accept. We try to run our own ways. I wish I had the words to convey to you what I feel and where I am now. A lot of you guys, in fact, I'd probably say that all you guys are younger than me now. And it's taken me a long time to get to this place where I tend to understand a bit of Paul saying, I have learnt to be content, whether with plenty or with little. And I think I'm at that place now where no matter what's going on, God's still in command. God still loves me. God's still guiding me. God's still providing for me. God's still wrapping me up with His caring. God's still saying little things into my mind. God's still surrounding me with friends and family and brothers and sisters in Christ. And there's a love growing. There's a bit different to the love I've known in the past. And Faith and I have a huge feeling, I think is the right word, for my brothers and sisters that are suffering for Christ now. We very often say first thing in the morning, we're sitting in the peace and the quiet and the safety and the plentifulness of our home. And it's a lovely place to be first thing in the morning. And I see the pictures in my head of brothers and sisters out there that are incarcerated, have no control whatsoever over their life, suffering incredible pain. Dear Lord, set them free. Set them free. We worry about some of the things that go on in our lives. Yes, they're horrible. But they're so petty in comparison. They're so petty in comparison. Today's horrors are tomorrow's memories. Put them there. Leave them there. Walk with Christ. Bless you each and every one. You're a wonderful crew. You're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we love you all.